First thing I can remember, coming off my quad bike, face first into a pile of stones that dad had in the yard for drainage. It was the first time I'd really hurt myself bad in the farm. I'd been watching, it was just after Balmore's show, and we'd been watching the Kangaroo Kid.
Yeah.
At Balmore's show, you remember
yeah.
him?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I can do what he can do. Like, I'm flying down the yard on my wee quad bike, and straight in, rallying it up over the pile of stones, I went face first into the pile of stones, so... I don't think I'll ever forget Mum's face. Dad carried me around the yard and into the house to Mum, and I was cuts everywhere. And I think it was Mum's face that I can still remember.
Yeah. How old were you roughly, do you know?
Oh, I was only about 7, maybe. Maybe even younger. I think even younger was my first. I've destroyed and wrote off and wrecked every quad bike I've ever had. So now we just don't have one. No, I don't.
Not an adult one anyway, just the boys.
And so, Palma, what about you? I assume something very similar, yeah?
I don't really know. Probably when we moved. So we used to live in Larne in the town, and then Mum and Dad bought a house then out in Cronalbona, so just kind of at the foot of Slemish. So probably that move was one of the first things I remember, and I was due to start into the new primary school, and like Richard had a bit of an accident on a bike. There was a hill that comes down to our house, and I pulled the handlebars to brake and flew over the stone dike into the field. And my sister had went on ahead and couldn't understand why I wasn't coming behind. And a lady happened to be driving past and picked me up and brought me down. And that was how Mum and Dad met some of the neighbours.
There you go.
So there we go.
Is it funny how your first memories is always a painful
exactly,
one?
Exactly, yeah. It's always something that you don't want to...
Absolutely.
Happen again.
Well, he's a wild, so that's a great place to start. Awesome. Yeah, look, hello and welcome to Best of Belfast, the podcast that celebrates Northern Ireland and the incredible people in it. We've already been hearing today from Pamela and Richard. And look, just going to jump in and give a wee bit of context before we keep going. So Pamela and Richard Lilburn are the owners of Brookvale Farm. It's a 100-year-old family farm that's been taken county down by storm after they've installed a milk vending machine just a few months ago. It's where I get my milk. It's the best milk I've ever tasted in Northern Ireland. And if you like a wee bit of nostalgia as well, it even comes in a reusable glass bottle, which you can come back to the farm and fill up yourself with either creamy whole milk or a wide range of Brookvale milkshakes from the vending machine. And for me, the most fun part of the farm is that they've actually opened it up to the general public. So you can go down with the wee ones, you can go down with friends and family, and you can visit the cows, the calves, and Mr. T, the horse, I believe it is, with your friends and family while you fill up. So, yeah, look, I think the place where I'd love to kick off then is how did the two of you meet? Because it seems to be that you've come from different worlds, and I'm just interested in how those two worlds collide.
Oh, dear, this is so awkward.
Oh, yeah, awkward for me.
Richard Facebook stalked me.
Yeah, she wouldn't give in and I wouldn't give up.
I was studying for my professional accountancy exams, and he pestered and pestered and pestered and pestered some more.
6 weeks of phone calls and text messages, and she refused to let me come and see her.
So then he just turned up on my doorstep.
In Slemish, or where were you now?
Yes, I was still in Cronalbona.
Flip me, and you were obviously Dromore still.
Yeah, but 51 miles from my door to her door.
The thing
and
is,
he walked it all.
The thing is, Richard's mummy, Olive, actually is from up my part of the country. So I grew up with a lot of Richard's cousins.
Right.
And his cousin, one of his cousins, just lived on the other side of the, like, basically on the other side of the road from me. So he had asked them for my, like, proper address to be able to find, like... What am I
so I turned up on her doorstep
on a Saturday night.
Saturday night with some junk food, and I said,
"We watched X Factor."
I said, "Study." So Pamela's parents came to the door, and I've never met them before. They hadn't a clue who I was, and I said, "I'm here to see Pamela." And her mom was in stitches before it because Pamela was laying in a tracksuit bottom
and a hoodie, mortified, no makeup on. And but saying that, my family are very easygoing. Welcome Jane with open arms, and the rest is
history. I think your dad was glad to see me because you have...
I have two sisters.
It was, so he's it was outnumbered nice badly.
Of, yeah. Nice to get a maleness into the house, wasn't it?
Yeah, so you finally give in.
So, I mean, how do you go from, you know, watching X Factor to, like, get married? It's like a hard jump to picture in your
Not
head.
Not that long, actually. So, like, a year after we got... Engaged.
Got engaged at Halloween because, as I said to everybody, it's the most scary time of the year and it was the most scariest thing I'd ever done. I had all these romantic plans of going for a walk on the beach at Newcastle. Sure. And there was a fireworks display on that night and, of course, it was pouring with rain.
We couldn't do anything.
So I ended up having to propose in the restaurant, and the restaurant was full of people because nobody else could go anywhere.
Mortified. I'm quite a quiet person. Yeah, quite a, like, to keep myself to myself. Sure. And I was like, oh my days. Mortified.
Well, I sort of thought, if there's loads of people there, she couldn't really say no.
100%.
But no, it was quite quick. Like, we were only making out a year. And in that year, Richard's daddy had a brain aneurysm, and Richard had to take over a lot of the kind of farm, and a lot of it kind of fell then to him to run. Because, yes, it was a lot for them both to run by themselves at the time. Like, I always kind of came into it knowing that, like, I was not from a farming background, and
but it was coming into a dairy farm. From the word
well, that's the thing. I knew how it was going to be. Like, farming is a, it's a long slog, you know, exactly. And it's 24/7, you know, and they were milking at that stage in a parlour. There was no robots. So morning and night you had to be there. If you were going out for dinner some night, it was any time after 8:30. Do you know, there was the odd night Richard's daddy was very good. We got away, slipped away early, or he was able to come up to my house or whatever. But obviously after his daddy then had
it was 3 months before Dad really recovered at all. Yeah. He'd come down
and
the farm.
And obviously then Richard had to properly, like, it was, you know, this is how it's going to be, Pamela. You're either in or you're out. So, you know.
So, I mean, what was that like for you? Like, I don't want to use the term culture shock, but, like, if you haven't grown up on a farm, I imagine that is.
It was. Like, I grew up in the country. So a lot of my friends were farmers. They came from farming families. Yeah. I wasn't. Like, my parents were just, they both worked. Dad is a builder by trade and Mum was in retail. So I had no concept of actually living or working on a farm or. Yes, oh yes, he had cows and he was a farmer. And like my mum and dad, I remember Dad at our wedding, he was like, we just knew Pamela would marry a farmer. And I'm like, how? Like, you know, and I don't even know why they still think that. But it was just, yeah, it was different. And and even obviously when you're dating, like you do get to go out for your dates. Obviously you make more of an effort, but you're obviously in that courting stage. We know, so, you know,
young love, dear, was all excited.
No, do you know what I mean? We did. We got away to go away for the odd weekend and we did go out for nice dinners and stuff. And then obviously it was very much like, well, you're here now. We're now engaged. We got a wedding planned in a year. We got married. And it was like, by the way, you know, like that can't always happen. Yeah, do you know, and it is a bit more tying because obviously as Richard gets older, his dad gets older and can't do necessarily as much. But at the same time, like, there's nothing like putting on a pair of wellies and going and get stuck in.
Absolutely.
Do you know? And I think I always thought about it as for the life for our kids. You know, it's, I loved growing up in the country. You know, I am not a townie, no offence to them, but it was so nice growing up in the country, the fields around you. Mm-hmm. You know, they can go outside, make as much noise as you want. Nobody can really give a care in the world. And it was a nice sheltered kind of life.
Sure.
Like, you know, I wasn't the one going out to pubs and clubs, that wasn't me, do you know? And I just think for our kids to be able to grow up on the farm, it's an incredible opportunity for them, do you know? Yes, they learn hard work from a young age, but that is so good in this day and age. It sets them in such good standing. So maybe is it selfish in saying that I wanted to marry a farmer for a future, for how I could kind of plan out a future 100%. For my family life.
Yeah.
And yeah, kind of give you a wee bit of kind of control as to how things were going to be.
Yeah.
I was guaranteed to live in the country. A farmer's not going to live in. No, do you know what
that's
I mean?
That's true. But I mean, like, Richard, for you, like, what I find interesting about you is, like, you've lived on that same kind of plot of land your whole life.
Yeah.
Like, that's mad. Like, for someone who, and like, for a lot of people listening who, you know, moved homes as a family whenever they were younger, and Pam obviously moved when she was younger, like, you're living the way that people would have lived for, like, thousands of years, but longer do. You know?
That's the thing. I've born, reared, and probably buried there,
yeah.
You know, and there's some people say to me, well, you don't want to see the world and stuff. And I was like, well, we had our kids very young, and because we were tied to the farm, and, you know, it's a big commitment, and we couldn't travel the world, and et cetera, et cetera. But the way I see it, by the time my boys are old enough to take over the farm, if that's what they want to do, we'll still be young enough and we can travel then and see the world, and, you know,
if we want to.
If, well,
yeah, that's
I'm not.
Pamela doesn't travel well and doesn't like cruises and all, et cetera, et cetera. But
I don't like boats, I don't like the water.
For us, we headed off quite well as far as, now the two of us like big long sunny holidays or something, a nice night away here or there, you know, going out, a nice meal, staying over somewhere for the night, maybe using the spa or whatever, and then home again.
And that was nice, that's enough. It's enough to break up your, you know, give you a change of scenery for, I don't need a long holiday.
Yeah, there's just no like sitting for 2 weeks with a big novel.
No.
We did that on our honeymoon, not even with the novel. We don't read books.
You were studying.
I brought some exam books, but yeah, you're just kind of like, it kind of seems like a waste of time. I feel like we always have to do something.
Yeah, you know? I always go and play sport.
But even at home, like, you'll never find us really sitting just, especially during the day, like, we'll never sit and just watch TV. Like, that's just a waste of time. I think I'm always thinking in the background, okay, I have so much other stuff to be doing, so much constructive stuff I should be doing. So, yes, it's nice to go and switch off, but you can do that in a couple of days. You don't need a full week or two's holidays. And yes, that'll be nice as the kids grow and be able to do the odd holiday here and there. Like, that will still happen, obviously, with the installation of the robots, you know, on the farm and a few other bits and pieces of technology. Like, that will obviously happen, and you still want to be able to give that to the kids, because just because we don't want to travel doesn't mean to say they won't want to, and you still want to have them family things together. But
send them off in the camper van with your mum and dad.
Do that when they get up a bit, and actually, number one, like, appreciate the holiday, and number two, enjoy it.
I was very lucky that my auntie, took me on holidays with their family, because my father wasn't able to take us away on family holidays because of the commitment of the farm, and I got to go to Disneyland with my auntie and my cousins and stuff, and only for that I probably wouldn't have had that opportunity.
Experience? That's unreal.
You got more than I did. Like, we didn't really do, not until we were older even, as, and I think that's why I'm kind of, it doesn't bother me that we don't go on family holidays with the kids as small. Like, we didn't do it, we would have went to like Scotland with mum and dad, and like, that was lovely and that was enough. And even the expense, I suppose, nowadays. But when we started, we were like kind of early teens when we started. We went to like Greece or somewhere like that there. And that was, you appreciated it. You were able to, everybody was able to enjoy the experience of the holiday. You know, you didn't mind putting the money into something like that that was enjoyable. So I think we will obviously do things like that down the line. But at the moment, we're happy with obviously trying to get our business, you know, running steadily. We've had a lot of investment obviously over the last while, and it's just now about getting a return on that investment and trying to, you know, get the farm to a place where we want it to be.
These are your heart. I think these are the years where we're at, both at that age. Well, I wouldn't say I'm in my prime still, I'm kind of past that as far as the physical bits go, but these are the years where you really have to put the hard work in.
Exactly. Put your head down
and push forward. And hopefully enjoy.
And you'll reap the rewards, hopefully, on the other side.
Get the business up and get your kids up, even if your kids are so young.
They're still so young. You know, they're only 7, 5, and 3. You know, they're still small. And, you know, they need us, I suppose, at home, you know. And I'm happy being there at the moment to provide that support to them at this
stage. So what was it like for you to move from an accounting world where, you know, you put on like a smart, casual, like, business suit and go to work, and now you're like full-time farm?
Yeah, it took me...
My wife used to come out strutting down in the morning with high heels and all on, looking
nice,
savage.
Like, trainers.
Get the wellies on. Yeah. Exactly. That's what you signed up for, mate. Come
exactly.
on.
Well, Hunter do a pair of high heel wellies,
there
you know.
There you go.
Some job.
Christmas present.
No, it was like, it took me a long time to even get to
make that jump.
Yeah. You know, obviously, I was doing my.
Talked about for nearly 2 years.
Yeah, like, I got qualified, and then obviously we had our children, and it was very much like, you're a Muppet.
Sorry, just for context, we're laughing here because we set a wee timer, and now Richard's eaten the second half of his brownie, and Pam is scundered.
Yeah, so it took me a long time to kind of, like, I was back and forth, and I'm sure even the ones at my old work, like, I spoke to them on so many occasions being like, you know, I think it's time that I have young children, the farm needs me. Do you know, Richard, I hope, needed me at home, do you know, because, like, the farming was still, yes, even we had installed the robots, the farming is still full on. There's still so much that needed done, and yes, I was going out to work for the 3 days, but I still felt so stretched. You know, it wasn't like Richard was able to come in whenever I got home from work. And, you know, yes, he was there to help with the kids, but it's still, a lot of it still failed to me. Absolutely. You know, a lot of the kind of the home life still kind of failed to me because Richard was needed out in the farm, and I appreciated that. And it was just getting to the stage, and then obviously COVID hit, and it was like, I think that gave me the final push that I needed to say, right, okay, maybe now is just the best time to take a break. Like, yeah, I would not say I am out of accountancy completely.
Yes, you are. No, I have you at home now. You're staying there.
Do you know, it's...
You rip the degree paper up
quickly. No way. Like, oh my goodness, it took me a long time to get my charter chip. Never mind the degree part of it. But I'm glad now I've made the jump. Like, yes, it was nice getting out them 3 days, you know, as Richard says, putting on your clothes, you know, your nice clothes, and going out and closing that door behind you of the farm, dropping all the kids to school and going and being accountant Pamela. And that was nice, having your kind of own identity. And but again, I wouldn't say I've lost an identity, I've just gained a different one. You know, I'm now Pamela the business. Well, not
the farm-trepreneur.
Well, exactly. Do you know, and it's just taken my accountancy in a different path as well, because I'm still able to use that, you know. And even with the farm and obviously doing a lot of the bookwork, like, yes, I'm still outside doing a lot with the vending machine and all the rest of it, but I'm still doing all the paperwork in behind. So I'm still using that knowledge. I've still benefited from all that knowledge. Very and much. As I say, I still will, more than likely, when the kids are up a bit and things are steadied out at the farm, it's still something I can go back into. Absolutely. So I would never say that it's a door closed. It's just a door, you know, swinging.
Like, I don't think people realise the amount of paperwork involved in farming. And it's getting more and more. The traceability, you know.
It's not just your bookkeeping. Like, it's your farm quality. Like you said,
well, the carbon footprint is something that we are looking into seriously. I know a lot of farmers, like, especially there's a generation coming through now, and we have to take it more seriously. And it's something that, you know, we have designated areas in the farm for this autumn for planting trees. We're in talks about solar panels. We're trying to encourage people through the vending machine to keep using the glass bottles. Like, we have sold over 15,000 bottles already.
Wow.
And if every person keeps reusing them and reusing them and reusing them, even on a weekly basis, that's tens of thousands of plastic cartons less.
Totally.
And I know people say, oh, you recycle plastic, but 90% of people throw it in the bin.
Yeah.
And I've just see it as a throwaway product. And if we can try and do our wee bit and build on that. Now, as I said to somebody before, a lot of the stuff to reduce carbon is very, very expensive because it's new technology. So start off doing the small things that we can do, the likes of planting the trees. And like, we got our first quote through for solar panels, and I think it was about 25 or 30 grand. You know, that's more big investment. So start off with what we can do.
So yeah, so I mean, like, speaking of investment then, like, Pamela, tell me about, like, where the idea for the vending machine came from.
So a couple of years ago, Richard had been on a trip to Holland, and like a farm business trip. And yes, it was Richard's idea, as he's just pointing to himself to remind me. He'd been on a trip to Holland, and yeah, vending machines over there are our big thing. That's where kind of they originated. And then once we started looking into it, there's a lot in England and Wales. And we, I said, the more we just kind of kept looking and looking, we were like, right, okay, this is maybe something that we can do. And Richard was like, you know, we're always looking for ways to be able to diversify. And again, it was him, I think, trying to get another way to pull me back to the farm. Do you know, this could be something that you can help with. I would need you more on the farm.
This so, is your side business you can run.
Exactly, exactly. So we did. We started properly looking into it kind of January 2020. And...
Well, I was looking into it before that, but it took me a long time to convince the rest of you to come along with me.
Yeah, because it was a big...
Everybody in our family sees me as the dreamer.
No, but we had already just done a big investment in the robots. Like, you know, 2 years before, we invested in the robots, you know, four robots.
The robots themselves cost us over $500,000, never mind the infrastructure to put them in.
So then to start... come back and start saying, oh, here, I want to spend some more money. You know, accountant brain came out in force and was like, catch yourself on. But I say, the more we looked into it, and then, you know, COVID hit. We had still been plowing away in behind. We had been talking to the supplier. Our order was placed. And, you know, I think COVID was a blessing in disguise for us, because everybody's attitudes changed towards farmers. They really wanted to come back to support farmers, they realised that whenever COVID hit and all the supermarkets couldn't supply the goods they wanted, that their farmer was still there. Their local, you know, wee veggie man was still able to provide the goods. You know, you could still go and get milk if you needed it, you know. And it really changed to say how people thought about things. And there was this real, okay, we want to go back to supporting local. Mm. And that really gave us the basis of the business that, okay, if we do this, we can hopefully make a go of it. And because we hoped we would get the support. And like, the support has been incredible. And we couldn't be doing what we are doing without everybody that comes down that lane. And again, the reason we did put it on the farm and have opened the farm to let people come and see is because we want to educate as well. We don't just want people turning up saying, there's your milk, right? Cheerio.
Yeah.
Come and see where your milk is coming from. Come and see our animals. We are so proud of what we are doing. And we want people to see that we are putting our heart and soul into looking after the animals and, you know, go see the baby calves. Like, you know, like, cows are like gentle giants. It's so lovely. We have people come on a weekly basis to pick up their milk, and every time they come, they go back around and see the cows. Mm-hmm. They're the same cows they've seen the week before. But it's so lovely that they've now built up like this relationship and like this friendship with some of the cows, and to see the kids coming and just, you know, it's such a release for some of them. Some kids would never see a cow or a calf up close. Do you know what I mean?
Like, or we went with our 9 month old. Like, I don't know when the last time I saw a calf like up close.
Yeah.
Like, I was probably about 7, if I'm honest.
Yeah, and it's lovely. And just to see the smiles in their faces. And I say it's something that they might not get to experience elsewhere. Like, yes, there's lots of open farms and it's great to be able to go and see it in that setting. But we're a working farm. We want people to see what goes on behind the scenes. You know, yes, there's good days, there's bad days. But, and like, there was a couple have been and they have seen calves being born. And like, we have no issues with people. You know, if that's happening and they want, if they're happy to witness that, come on ahead.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
it is lovely for them to see, you know, new life being brought in, you know, to the world. So,
and I think the reality of that as well. Like, you know,
exactly.
Like, people are very hard on townies, and I'm a townie, so I can say that, right? So, you know, you're so detached from the reality of the
world.
Exactly. Like, the goriness and the reality and just nature, you're so removed from that. And, like, the ignorance that, like, I even have towards, like, farming and, like, where my food comes from is ridiculous.
And you do get the odd ones coming being like, oh, my goodness, the smell. But then the next time they come back, they're like, you know, you don't smell it. Once you've been on it, you know, they are still animals, and we still have to remember that. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to smell of roses. But
and the education piece is so important, you know, because it's like, even about milk, like, people are like, what is pasteurized milk? What is homogenized milk? You know, is it different cows for whole milk? And
we have had that. We had
that. Chocolate cows or strawberry cows?
Exactly. We had
a teacher. I mean, we have nursery classes or primary school, early years primary school, coming on a Wednesday
for a tour.
And we had a teacher ask us, what sort of cows do we have? And I says, what do you mean we have Holsteins? And she says, no, but what sort of milk do they give? And I said, I'm not following you. She says, do they give the blue, the red, or the green? And I basically started going purple, trying not to laugh. And she actually was getting quite annoyed that I thought this was funny.
Yeah.
Now, this is somebody that's educating the next generation of children.
Absolutely.
And she was being deadly serious. Yeah. And I'm still to this day baffled by, surely to goodness she was joking, but she wasn't. She was deadly serious.
Absolutely.
And that's, yet again, lack of education.
Yeah.
Lack of, there's the education minister, the agriculture minister, somebody up in that hill. Well, they're all useless, but if there's one of them that actually can pull their finger out and do something useful, one of the first things I think they need to do is show the next generation where their food comes from and get them to appreciate it doesn't come out of a package from Tesco's.
Yeah.
You know, that would, for me as a farmer, that's what I want to see.
The amount of kids that think milk just comes from the shop.
It's crazy.
You know, they don't get that it comes from a cow.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, yes, I suppose we can maybe say, like, that is ridiculous, but that's just because we were brought up knowing, like, you know, we were told from a young age that milk comes from a cow, but children don't seem to be told that nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's just an assumption that, oh, mummy just goes into that shop, or daddy or granny or granda goes into that shop to get the milk. That's like, where it comes from.
As well, it's like, how can people make the connection if they've never seen it? Like,
exactly.
If you're not, if you've never even seen a cow, and that sounds ridiculous, like, some people listen and be like, catch yourself on. Like, I've met kids in Northern Ireland who've never seen a cow or never seen a sheep because they live in Belfast and that's just the world that they live in. And, like, it's just mad. I'd love to kind of hear a bit of a riff on your actual milk itself. Because like the difference between your milk and milk that you get from the shop, like semi-skimmed milk, it's like two entirely different products. It's as if they come from two different planets. So tell me about it.
They are, and it's due to the, it's down simply to the processing. So our milk, yes, is gently pasteurized on the farm. It is safe for children, it's safe for pregnancy, because the pasteurization simply just takes out any of the harmful bacteria. It raises the milk up to a temperature, holds it at that temperature for half an hour, and then cools it back down. And it is just to remove, you know, any bacteria that could come across. Shop-bought milk is what is called homogenized and standardized. Homogenization and standardization breaks up the particles in the milk. So the cream particles in the milk, and either remove some of them in order to get your whole, your semi-skimmed and your skimmed. But in the whole milk, your cream is still there, but it floats. And that is basically, it doesn't separate out. Because people, you know, there's this whole perception that you do not want people to separate, you know, they don't want their milk to separate out, you know, whereas
it's like,
in
how
ours,
dare we sell a wonky carrot?
Exactly.
It's the same sort of idea. How dare we sell some milk that has a little bit of visible cream in it?
Exactly. Whereas our milk, you will have the cream forming on the top. You leave it in the fridge overnight and it will form on the top. You know, a lot of people say, or scoop it off, use it in their coffee, or shake it back in. But, you know, the supermarkets and the processing that goes on, they're taking all of the goodness out and they're affecting and mixing up the, you know, the kind of the enzymes and the particle in the milk. And that's what's causing your digestive system that it can't process it properly. You know, so
your body absorbs everything whenever they standardize it. And that's the biggest problem. Your body's not designed to take, you know, absorb all the milk. That's why if you leave it naturally alone, your body will absorb what it needs and the rest of it won't.
Yeah.
And we actually had a doctor with us, and she said if she could get all the children to drink proper milk, she said she would have to give out far, far less supplements and everything else because there's so much goodness in it.
Even the amount of omega-3 that's in your milk is astronomical in comparison. Like, I remember reading a study, and it was like, you know, the difference between even like semi-skim milk and whole milk in terms of omega-3, it was like at least tenfold. Like, it was astronomical.
Yeah,
it was
but
crazy.
The whole milk that you buy in the shop isn't actually whole milk.
So talk to me about that.
They see the fact they take all the cream out and then add back in what they legally have to.
Right.
Whereas ours has it all.
Ours has everything in it.
We don't take anything out. We don't add anything in. It is just milk, and now, that is what it is. It's
I don't
want to
sit here. I don't want to sit here and bash factories and stuff. But obviously, they have a job, and that's to provide the population with milk.
Masculine.
We're trying to provide 300 or 400 people with milk. So it's a completely different scale altogether. But there has to be some way that they can at least look into not damaging the milk so much so people start getting the goodness that milk can give them.
Mm-hmm. But it's also shelf life. Shelf life is a big thing nowadays. People want something to be able to buy something and it to last.
Yeah, stick it in the fridge for 2
milk
weeks.
Milk shouldn't last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you
fresh
know,
product.
It's a fresh product. It should be, you know, fresh is best. And the fresher, the better. Like, our milk still has a shelf life of 4 days. And, you know, it probably is still grand a couple of days after that. But, you know, milk should not be bought in a plastic carton and popped in the fridge and still being drunk 2 weeks later. You know, how do they get at that stage?
That
what are they adding?
What is it? That
UHT?
Oh,
like,
what are they? I remember going to Germany, I was 15, and they served us aged milk, and I was like, what is this?
It's
You don't have to refrigerate it.
No.
Like, what is that carnage?
Exactly.
It lasts, it's dated for another 3 years.
But that's it. But at the same time, it's because people want something that lasts.
Yeah,
they don't want the hassle of having to go and get, well, some people, because we have a lot of regulars who'll come every other day for their fresh milk.
But I mean, like, talk to me about, like, I mean, for the people that don't live in the area, and I know many people travel to get their milk from you guys, but like, just paint a picture of like what even the last few months have been like in terms of the sheer quantity of people coming and from where they've been coming from, because it's really
it's
hard to get your head around.
Mental. Like, we have been so overwhelmed. Yeah. It's been unreal.
Coming from Enniskillen, Omagh, Bangor, Belfast,
Newry, Kilkeel,
Dublin.
Like, it's just crazy. And the droves of people. So obviously at the very start, it was just incredible. Richard and I were doing it ourselves. We were out at 7 a.m., not getting in the house. We close at 8 o'clock in the evenings. But it was like 10 o'clock before we had the queue cleared. Then we were up in the morning doing the same thing again. And obviously, I think what people need to remember, it's not just us selling the milk. It's the it's the pasteurising that goes on behind it. So yeah. Richard was up during the night, getting the fresh milk ready for the next morning, because that's another thing we want to stress. Like, all our milk is fresh, same day. You know, it'll be processed or it'll be pasteurised during the night.
Yeah.
That is the, you know, there'll be nothing in there from the day before or anything else. It is so fresh. And I think that's what people know and want, and that's why they keep coming back. But it was incredible. Like, the queues, we had like 2.5-3 hour queues, people standing. And like, this was what, February? We had like snow, hail, rain coming sideways.
It was so funny that our yard looked like a line of Eskimos.
everybody with their woolly hats and their masks on. And,
but
you know,
the crack that people had, the weather was horrendous.
Yeah.
And people were quite good with the distance and
social distancing.
We were outside
masks.
And we had them a queue out the length of the yard, and people were cracking away with people they hadn't seen in months.
Absolutely.
And people even that they just didn't know. And I think after being in the middle of COVID and having lived a quite a sheltered life for the last kind of year, it was so lovely just even to see that buzz that people were having, and to be able to have that in the yard was lovely. But yes, the queues were a bit crazy. Second vending machine is being installed in order to kind of help that, you know, and we are still busy. You know, during the week would be that wee bit steadier, just with obviously schools having been back. There's not the same crazy queues. Mm-hmm. Weekends are still pretty mental.
Sure.
But it is just, honest to goodness, it's incredible to see. But, and we are so thankful for everybody who comes and supports
every
us.
Every weekend you're getting new customers.
Yeah.
Because they'll come and try it, and then they start turning into your regulars.
Yeah.
And your regulars aren't just coming for 2 bottles of milk.
Yeah.
People are coming for 16.
I come for 6, which is small in comparison to other people.
But yeah. There's a lady who drives from Enniskillen for 16 bottles.
A week.
Every month.
That's at least a 10-minute fill-up. Like.
Every minute, or every Monday, she's there at 7 o'clock.
Wow.
And she's her wee suitcase thing and all the portamen insulated and amazing. All.
But
and
it's so said, lovely now to...
She's been waiting years...
To have something like that back,
she says, it reminds her of being, she's probably a retired lady, and she says it reminds her of whenever she was a wee girl.
Amazing.
When you used to get proper milk, and she says, whenever you used to get milk in school, and I was like, don't compare it to school milk, because that was, that's it.
With school, the good school milk.
I know, schools put so many children off milk.
Yeah.
I can remember as a wee one in school, it was either left out and frozen, or sat, you know, in on the radiator, and it was roasting.
Yeah.
Like, come on, schools, put the milk in a fridge.
But it's so lovely, even the rapport that we have built up with some of our regulars. Do you know, it's so nice to see them faces coming in every week. And
three big lads.
Yeah, like it's the just the Darrens. It's so lovely. And the crack you have with them then, and just for them to be going out and even telling other people. And you know, yes, social media is amazing, and our social media has been incredible. But word of mouth and somebody saying, oh, I'm going to take this bottle and give it to so-and-so.
It's a great gift, but it's amazing free marketing for
isn't
you.
Isn't it? It's fantastic. So and then that person's coming back and they're like, oh, such and such a person gave me this. Yeah. And now I'm going to come back because I had to have some of it for myself. And I'm just like, that is just so lovely for people helping to do that. You know, that helps us so much, and we are so incredibly thankful for that.
And then there's like the ancillary business that like pops up. You know, you've the burger van and then all that sort of stuff. Like, that's also really fun.
No, it's not a burger van. It's a gourmet.
Exactly.
Excuse me. I beg your pardon.
Simply irresistible.
We have known Alex since I was in, you know, Navvies. My mum worked alongside her in the catering business for a few years, and she used to do all the cattle shows. And she turned up to us because, like, you really feel for, like, them guys. All their stuff that she does week in, week out, when COVID hit, was cancelled.
Yeah.
All the weddings, functions, shows and everything. And she said to me, like, oh, here you're having big queues. Do you mind if we set up?
Brilliant.
And I was like, Alex, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
There's a space.
Yeah.
And she's set up a beautiful tent, and she keeps it all immaculate. And it's not just, you know, your burger van food. It's locally produced beef on their own farm, and it's, you know, it's fantastic.
It's literally like restaurant food.
Yeah
it's unbelievable. Gorgeous.
And again, it's outside.
Yeah,
it's kind of a disaster out in the air.
Have you anything organised for lunch, Pamela? Oh, I'm just going to get a burger. Or my little boy loves her bacon rolls. Like, every time Alex arrives, they always
see, my problem is I can't go for she makes me up what she calls a TRL stack, which is a 6-ounce burger. and then cheddar cheese, two slices of bacon, a chicken fillet, and another slices of bacon, and then tobacco onions and pepper sauce.
Man, get the protein in there.
It's just like, you know, that keeps you going for at least another 2 or 3 hours. It's great.
Just 2 or 3 hours, too.
Unbelievable. So
but
good.
No, they're fantastic, and they've been doing well, and it's nice to see them thrive, and it's nice to see that we, you know, were able to give them that opportunity to, you know, come and try it out. Like, and it's
even
great that
even another neighbour who, a young fella, ploughed up the corner of one of his fields, dad's fields, and planted two acres of potatoes.
Class.
Is selling lovely homegrown, hand picked potatoes. Another neighbour who just down the road has his children have a few hens, and they have a wee honesty box at the end of their lane.
Oh, brilliant.
But the amount of people that's driving past now to come to us, his sale of eggs has been up threefold.
Nice.
You know,
it's not just us that are benefiting. It's just lovely to see the ripple effect, you know, of everybody's getting a wee turn out of it. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, to switch gears slightly then, okay, because I mean, it is all great stuff, and you know, we're all beyond grateful for you guys for doing this, and you're beyond grateful for the people that come. How do you manage some of the challenges then? Because it's amazing to have all these people welcomed onto your home, but I guess it's a big, big, big change for you in this season as you're even transitioning to the second machine.
Well, there's 24 hours in a day. That's what I look at. And so, yes, we have a lot of people there during the day, but you know, Dad's up early and Mum's up early in the morning and Pamela's up early. Now, normally I'm going to bed whenever they're getting up, but I do the sort of the night shift.
Yeah.
We always did take pride in our farm. It was always very tidy anyway. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really, for us, it wasn't really a big issue tidying the place up or anything else. Like, I was very lucky that Dad put in the foundations for me to build on. Mm. So he had a pretty good farm there. And as far as bringing the public into the farm, really the only difference it's made for us is just safety-wise. Mm-hmm. So we have coned off certain areas of the yard where we are doing a lot of work. So they just can't go into that bit. We've put reversion cameras and beepers onto all our machinery and stuff.
Nice.
And
the public are very respectful.
Yeah,
do you know, we haven't came across, you know, there hasn't been any major confrontations or anything else. They're very respectful of the yard. I think they appreciate, and we have never sugarcoated it, that you are coming to a working farm.
Yeah.
But like, literally, our farmhouse is right smack in the middle of the yard.
Yeah.
We literally are sitting eating lunch, looking out the window, and we have people like, you know, waving
at us. You're like,
what's for lunch today?
Exactly.
One of the mums that we are friendly with from school came one evening, and near closing time, there's a big queue. And I looked around, I was like, where'd she go to? And she tapped the window and she waved at me at the house.
She went
into the house and made herself a cup of coffee. I have no problems with that.
Yeah.
Our door is always open to anybody.
Yeah.
And like, and literally anybody, we have had, you know, Protestants and Catholics and Lithuanians and Polish and Chinese and Indian. We have everybody comes to our farm.
And it doesn't
matter who you are.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Everybody's welcome. And the people, everybody talks to everybody. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, this wee country needs more of that.
Yeah.
Everybody just see everybody as another person. All the wee shops in Belfast just see everybody as another customer. And that's the way we're going to move forward. Mm-hmm. So it's so nice at the farm. Nobody cares who anybody is, where you're from. We have doctors and consultants. We have people from the completely other end of the scale. We have people from all backgrounds, and everybody still loves the product the same as anybody else.
Yeah.
So that there has been fantastic as far as, you know, having public on farm. And talking
your dad
to
loves
all.
It. Your dad loves dad having loves a
guy. I think I passed your dad the other day, and he was like carting like, I don't know, like how many tons of stone down the yard, just giving me a wee wave. It's like,
so, and he loves it. He loves the crack, and he will always stop and chat to everybody. And I think,
and we'll talk to anybody.
So nice. But he just is so proud of what we're all doing and having people to his farm. And again, he just wants to like show people around and like get that wee bit of education back, and just welcomes everybody as if they're his best friend, and it's just so sweet.
Like, we have a consultant that comes from Craigavon, and he comes with the waistcoat and all on, and he's so prim and proper, and you know, he's a lovely man. And I looked across the yard the other day, and the two of them were propped up against, I think he drives as a Jag, and the two of them were propped up against the side of the car chatting away. There's Dad in the dirty wellies and all on, and the woolly hat and all on, and this man standing in the suit. Total different ways of life.
Yeah, totally.
Completely different ends of the scale, but two of them had a common thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And like with the support we even have from like the Craig Avon Hospital, one person took some bottles in and now it's just a ripple effect. Wow. So much more of the staff are coming. And the other day we had the fire service in, some of the ones from Banbridge, and we sent some bottles to them because we appreciate what they have done for us.
Sure.
Like whenever I'm going down, I give blood platelets down in Belfast here and I take them in some donuts or some milkshakes because I appreciate what they do for us as well.
Yeah,
I think that's try and get a bit of, like community spirit. Mm-hmm. I think back, you know, a lot of businesses through this hard time, you can see more and more of it, that local businesses are supporting each other and supporting other parts of the community and stuff. And I think that's so lovely to do. Absolutely. As well.
So before we kind of land the plane with a few kind of stock questions then, what's the future of the business? Because these are absolutely wild. These are always up to something new. And Pamela, what's some of the things that are on the cards here?
I dropped the bombshell.
We've got 30 chickens coming.
One of my friends said to me, you know what would get more people to this place? Just some gorgeous chicks. And I says, there's already one gorgeous chicken. And he says, no, two-legged ones. And I was like, what are you getting at? And he says, get some chickens. Yeah. And I says, but the neighbour has some chickens. I don't know, but he says, every time I go past, they're sold out. He says, I want to come here and see the chickens.
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of the minute fencing off a whole field. Nice. So that we're going to get 30 free range and they're going to have a whole field to themselves. I've already some trees planted in it, so I'm going to plant more trees for them to be in round.
A presidential chicken coop.
Yeah. Oh, it's class.
Oh, dear. I hope Richard will be living in it.
Probably.
With the chickens.
Well, but, not often the fella gets to spend the night with 30 females.
So yeah, we have a few chickens coming, hopefully get some eggs off of them ladies. And then when we are moved into the new vending room, then the current vending room, we hope to do some like local fresh fruit and veg, like a veg box. And again, just trying to support our local farmers here around us with the amount of local amazing produce we have. It'll be such a lovely wee hub to be able to have people be able to come and, you know, all the kind of seasonal fruit and veg.
There's a company, Daily Fresh, just down the road from us, and they literally will be pulling the vegetables straight from the field
and into a box for us.
They'll actually probably bring them straight from the field to us. With the soil still on them.
Epic.
Doesn't matter what shape, size, like you said earlier on about wonky vegetables. At the end of the day, who cares? It tastes the same and they're fantastic straight from the field.
So yeah, there's lots of other bits and pieces happening, I say, between the chickens and the
I have some more ideas, but I'll not say it. But I haven't said to Palmy yet, and I'll probably get hit.
Maybe now is a good time.
Well, the ice cream end of things, we have joined up with a fantastic local company. And
we're supplying them
solely as with milk, and the ice cream that they have made, we have had some samples from it, is like eating silk. It's gorgeous, so creamy, beautiful. So that's a product that's coming out. It might be out when this comes out, it might not.
Yeah.
But that's something for everybody to look forward to.
So cool. And then you're in you've got a coffee shop that you're selling into as well, which is really exciting.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The same guy's using, he has coffee shops as well. And it was by pure chance that they'd run out of tubs one day for making ice cream and they still had a few litres left in the cold store. He says, well, take it out to the shops rather than letting it go off. And now the girls that work in the shop say everybody just wants it in their coffees, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
So that's something that could snowball for us.
Totally. But, it's a testament to a really, really great product.
Yeah, but yet again, for us, it's another opportunity that we will be selling to him in stainless steel churns. So there's no plastic, no waste. They will be brought back. They'll be washed out and cleaned and refilled and used time and time again.
Class.
So it's back to what we can do to give back to local business and the environment at the same time.
The product out there, do you know, because it is like until you've tried it and compared it, you know, the amount of ones so that do crazy. Come and they're just like, we didn't think there would be much of a difference, but oh my glory. Like it is just incredible. We literally can't go back now. And, you know, the kids are, we had a mum that had sent us a video of her little girl. They had came and got our milk and had the milk in the bottles in the fridge. And the little girl came asking, she's only 3 or 4, asking for milk. And whenever her mum left out like the green topped milk from, no, not that one, the one in the blue bottle.
She wants one
and
from
she
the
was
cows.
Having, honest to goodness, the creator was just having a complete meltdown wanting that one from the cows, and she would not drink the milk.
That's
in
like
the carton.
Me now, I have a meltdown if I don't get the
she
proper
stuff. She had to have Brookfield's milk.
We
so.
Had a mum rang us long after we were closed,
yeah,
because the wee ones always had some of the milk before they went to bed, and she had none, and they would not go to bed. Fun, she man. Drove from it was she. Nearly to Banbridge, drove from Banbridge. I think it was nearly 10 o'clock at night because she had fought with the children trying to get them to go to bed and they wouldn't go to bed.
That is so funny.
Got some milk.
And I had to open up for her because I felt that wick.
Yeah.
So sweet,
yeah.
But one of the moms accused me of being like a drug dealer and I was like, and I was like, what on earth do you mean by that? She says, you give my wee one, I just want to hear from milk the other day, and you give them a free bottle of milkshake. And I was like, yeah, but they were crying there. She says, now you've given them a freebie, they want more and more. now you've got them hooked. And I was like, well.
You're like, man, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is.
Exactly.
Class. So look, there's three stock questions that I always kind of end the show with. And first one, feel free to answer them whatever way you want. They're a bit bigger, and so feel free to take a wee while to think about it as well. Always love asking people, what's the most challenging moment so far, and how did you overcome it?
Getting stuff in because of Brexit.
Dealing with our suppliers.
They
can be quite trying at times.
The whole Brexit thing, like we had 10,000 bottles for us starting, and literally because of the support we had within the first 2 weeks, they were all nearly gone.
Wow.
And on a Thursday evening, we were right down to our last few bottles, and we had 17,000 bottles ordered,
and they were due to be delivered the week before.
They had been dispatched, and it took them 10 days to get from England to here.
Crazy.
And I was able to ring a company in Dublin on, I think it was about 4 o'clock on the Thursday, and by 8 o'clock on the Friday morning they had us. Now they were unbranded,
sure,
they were just
yeah.
playing bottles,
yeah.
But they were able to have them in the yard at 8 o'clock the next morning.
That's unbelievable.
Now somebody somewhere needs to sort something out.
You know,
how can, you know, we're all meant to be still part of the UK, but yet they're able to come up from technically an EU country.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, what is going on?
Crazy.
You know, with the politics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people don't, politics affects us all. And, you know, I think most of the people in Northern Ireland don't care what they do, mm-hmm. just sort it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of other businesses that we have been talking to, Pamela's got friends are in clothing, you know, branding clothes. And there's a girl that she's friendly with, but it's lovely brands and lovely clothes. Can't get the clothes.
Crazy.
Has so many orders, can't get the clothes in. And that's a knock-on right across all parts of Northern Ireland for different...
Mm-hmm. But even just getting started, like we were due to start or open kind of September, October time. And obviously between COVID and Brexit and that, yes, obviously it was our direct supplier, but he was obviously having difficulties in the background. So I think...
Yeah. Well, he had to close his factory, you know, for nearly, was it 8 weeks because of the COVID?
It was, yeah, just, I think that's the most challenging part because you know that... You just can't get, you're relying, it's that reliance on other people. When you're able to do something and you know it's on your head and you're doing it yourself, you know, then you want yourself to blame.
Sure.
But it's that reliance on other people and suppliers and stuff. And yes, I feel for them, but it just gets really frustrating
and really tough.
Yeah, because you know that they're doing their best, but sometimes they're probably feeling like they're hammering their head off a brick wall. And I always feel bad for constantly ringing them, going, right, we need this stuff, we need it now. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, we're trying. And we're like, but... try harder, but they are trying, you know.
It's the most frustrating part of it.
Because it's so new and it's took off so fast, you know, we do feel sometimes like we're just trying to keep up.
Yeah.
But we don't want to let our customers down.
Yeah.
So some days you feel like you're spinning the wheels, but you have to make sure by the end of that day, you need to get your ducks in a row and you need to make sure you've told people you're going to have fresh milk. Mm-hmm. So no matter what happens, there will be fresh milk.
Yeah.
So that's...
And I think the other, probably the hardest thing for me is like the juggle.
Mm.
You know, like the juggle is real. Like, as I say, we have three young children who need us now more than ever, especially in the midst of, you know, what we've all been through in the last year. And that is hard. Like, we were so busy. And yes, they get that there's a new business, but they are so young, they shouldn't have to get that.
That's the thing.
You know, they shouldn't have to be like, oh, we know mommy and daddy have to go and see to the vending machine. It should be like, they should come first in everything. And I think it was that tug of being like, oh, I really need to be in the house with them. But these customers need me and we need to make this business work because we're doing this for our children and to give them a better future. So I think that's what's pulled me. And even still, you know, because we're still finding our feet and finding that balance. And yes, we've two great girls now who are on board to help us out. And, you know, that has lifted a big weight. But, you know, it's still full. Everything still falls to Richard and I. And yeah, again, it's just, it's finding that balance.
But through that, with us being so busy, and we have lovely neighbours beside us. And the kids one day were playing in the garden, and their kids were playing in the garden on the other side of the field. And they literally, our one slipped through the hedge and went across the field and in with the neighbours. And they go over nearly once a week, or they come over to ours once a week. Yeah,
yeah. And it's lovely.
And they've made so much more of a friend. Yes,
a proper friendship.
Close bond and friendship. And, you know, the neighbours beside us, Eddie and Marie, they are fantastic people. Mm-hmm. Like, they literally live against the side of the farm, and they never complain about noise, smell, trouble.
Nice.
They never complain about my kids invading their house, you know. And the likes of having good friends and neighbours like that has helped a lot.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we were first starting, there was neighbours just up the road, and Judith, she came down to get milk. And I was literally running around in circles.
Around lid bottles.
You know, she says, desserts. Richard, what can I do to help?
Wow.
And it was just lovely. That support is just incredible.
You know, and that was, again.
And it seems like such a simple thing. Like, oh, I'll go and lid a few bottles for you. But, you can't sell the bottles unless they're lit it. You know, that is a big job. Yeah. And they just came and got on with it. You know, and even her daughter came down and helped. Even just to look after the kids in the house for an hour while I was out helping out. You know, so. Yeah, the support has been fantastic.
Really cool. Yeah.
Even from just buying from the machine and then also helping us out as a family, it's just been lovely.
Putting up with a bit of extra traffic and stuff on the road as well. You know, I've felt like I've had to apologize to some of the neighbors, you know, because they walk their dogs on the road every day. Like, there's one of them said, like, she doesn't go for a walk until later on in the evening because the road's got that bit busier. Mm-hmm. But I apologize. Says Richard, look, we think what you're doing is fantastic. Yeah. Flair idea for putting your head above the parapet, if you want to say it, and getting out there and trying it.
Yeah.
And they're, like I said, they're always saying, like, don't apologize.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic what you're doing. We done that wee country file clip a while back, and the amount of people said to us about that, about how it was so nice to get Northern Ireland on the map, get county down, show how beautiful it is and how great it can be over here.
So good. Flip side of the coin then, what about the most successful moment or the most proudest moment?
Getting married.
You
brownie points.
Get him another brownie in the way out.
Come on,
brownie points. Oh dear.
Well, come on. I've done mine, I'm not sure. Getting divorced today after that.
Getting to slap you in the way home in the car.
I don't know. From a business perspective or in life?
Whatever you want. Go for life. I've had a lot of business.
Leave me hanging here.
Probably like having our children, like bringing new life into the world. It's just been lovely. Like, it's trying, but it has its moments.
One way to say it, yeah.
But
as I say, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's the best thing you'll ever
do. Yeah, I think it was a great. I always wanted a family, you know, and I think, I always like that was just what I always dreamed of, you know, having a loving husband and
seven kids.
Some children. No.
The vending machine is taking up two kids.
Didn't even think we would have got to three, but three children, that's us done. But I think probably just having the family and just where we are as a family at the moment, like just getting to that stage
family is very important for both of us.
Yeah, like.
Through what, sorry for interrupting, dear, but what I went through with my father. And I thought for sure I was going to lose him, like not once, but twice.
Yeah.
And that really made family, like we did have you would have said our family's a lot closer than what yours would have been as far as like, even our cousins and everything. Mm-hmm. We used to meet up at Christmas and meet up, and it's harder now that we're getting older.
Yeah.
But we still would be quite close. If like one of my cousins rang and said they'd help with something, you wouldn't think of dropping everything and going and help. Or same with if Pamela's parents rang and said they needed anything, you feel like I feel like I'm as much part of their family as a son.
You
might be a son-in-law, but I still see them as my parents and all too. And
And they see you that way
too. And they see that, you know, and that's so, so lovely. I know some people joke about, you know, their mother-in-law or their, you know, sure, this, yeah, that, yeah, and the other. Like, I, the crack that I can have with Pamela's family is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I think building a family business around a strong family for us, mm-hmm, is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. I said three questions. There's actually one I forgot about, and it's like a...
It's okay.
Like a 2 or 3 word response. Oh, it's actually, it's really, really tricky, but it's very interesting. Always love asking people if you could take anyone from Northern Ireland, dead or alive, out for, a glass of chocolate milkshake. Who would you take?
Nobody. I would just go by myself.
I would go to the spa by myself.
I'm happy enough to be by myself, thanks. Yeah. Richard could take that one.
Well, I actually got to meet one of the people I love in sport, you know, Rory Best, came to our farm.
What?
And I was literally like a...
Beside yourself?
It was like a kid meeting Santa.
Girl mode.
Exactly. You know,
Pam was joking me. She said, don't be humping his leg. And I was like, seriously.
Don't let yourself down, dear.
I know. I was like standing there going, this is an Irish captain. This is an Ulster captain. This is a British and Irish line. Like, I love my sporting. Mm-hmm. And I love my rugby. And to meet a legend like that, what we have started up, you know, he brought his family to my farm, and like they are a farming family. They have a massive farm, and to meet him was
great.
I just hope he comes back again. I didn't make an ass of myself. there's great people in Northern Ireland right across.
That's a great answer. I was a nice wee one there. I appreciated that. Final question, the question we always finish every episode with, and you can answer it for yourselves. If you could go back to, say, like a 18-year-old version of yourself, you had like a couple of minutes of 18-year-old Richard or 18-year-old Pamela's time, what would you say to them?
Everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Behave yourself.
Do you know what? I think that's as good a place to end as any. Guys, honestly, that's been an absolute blast, and I love that, because I think something as well that I'll just say before turning the mic off, you know, we talked at the start about how people want like a connection to their food, and part of that connection is also the story. And I think back in the day, you know, you'd be like, oh, these eggs are from, you know, the family up the road, mm-hmm, and there's a story connected to that. And I think what you guys are doing is really, really special, because it gives people that story connection to their food as well as the physical bit too. And I think particularly after the year we've all had, I think people are a lot more hungry for that. And so look, mm-hmm, I love what you guys are doing, and thanks so much for giving up your time to come here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yep.